was on vacation for well over 10 days. Well, even more than that if you count weekends. So, like 10 working days. 8 working days plus weekends, 12. Yeah. So I haven't really gotten around to do anything. And I still check things out when I'm on vacation. And I was reading about Matthew Ward just the other day. And I really like, you know, this is on Golden Age of Gaia. And that's Steve Becko's site. If you want to go to that, goldenageofgaia.com. But every time I read something from him, just about every time, I find that it rings so closely to what I really know, what I really believe, what I've learned over the last 30 years that's been reinforced over and over again. And, you know, you have to look a little bit because you don't hear it from every source saying the same thing. But a lot of people are explaining it this way. The reason that we don't have the abilities that maybe we once did, or those that call themselves masters, enlightened masters, they've learned to tap into those abilities and they can do things that the rest of us can't. And why is that? Why are we not born with that? Why is it difficult for us to perform simple things or even be psychic? And you see this next generation coming in having more ability. It seems like they have more ability to tap into that. And that has been my belief all along that, you know, they said more and more light was going to come to the planet. So I thought I'd go back and kind of look at the origin of how I understand. And maybe this clears things up for people and maybe it doesn't. You have your own beliefs, I understand. And those of you that maybe have a religious background are certainly not going to agree with what I'm going to tell you. But I'm not here to offend anybody. Just speak what I know. So roughly 30 years ago when I started listening to Ramtha and other sources, but mainly Ramtha back then because there really wasn't much to go by that I was aware of, I listened to a lot of his tapes. And now some people say, like I've said before, they feel like it's kind of a big cult, and maybe it is. I've tried to have Jay-Z Knight come on my show, and they said she doesn't do that anymore, so I don't know. And you hear some negative things, but who knows? Maybe they're just attacking her because of, you know, anytime you stick your neck out, people are going to attack you. I don't know. What I do know is the things that I heard over 30 years ago really rang true in my heart, being possibly true, and it's what set me forward on this journey to find the truth. And it wasn't just Ramtha, it was messages from Michael and Masters of the Far East and all these other books and all these other things that I came across and just made a lot of sense to me. You know, it's like one took me another step further. But the Ramtha stuff was so amazing because there was so much of it. And I remember my brother got me involved in it and he gave me cassette tapes. Back then we had cassettes. Still got them now, I think. Anyway, so we would listen to, you know, he would get a disc or a cassette and he'd record a copy and send it to me and I'd listen to it. Thanks to him so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what he did because it gave me the opportunity to get some real answers on some real things. And, you know, you don't know if it's true. And you tuck it away, and then somewhere down the road you hear, maybe, you know, as the internet started coming forward, you start to find websites that will support what was said, and then you also find ones that are completely against what was said, and you have to scratch your head, and you have to go with what you think is true. So then I've been, you know, as I go to Golden Age of Gaia, some things just stand out more than others that are said on there, but, you know, their message has been consistent with all the different beings they get on there is that we are ascending, we're coming into this time of great awareness, the earth is ascending, and we are becoming beings of light, and this is just going to happen. We're going to, you know, and there are beings that have been on this planet that have done that before. And the question is, how are they able to do that? And the rest of us can't. And every so often, we've seen glimpses of people that do amazing things. I've talked about it on more than one of my shows. Little kids that were able to lift up a vehicle. And they say, well, that's your adrenaline. And I say, no. If you don't have the muscle to lift something, there's no way your adrenaline's going to lift a 3,000-pound car. Come on. Or other stories that we've heard of people that do things that you just, and it's in that moment when you don't think and you just do. And the part of you that is, whatever you want to call it, divine, or the part of you that can tap into, we are unlimited. So really, we have those moments, and I think Ramtha described it, when you did that, when you just do it and don't think about it. That's why people can do these things. So again, I set out to try to find answers. So now I come across Matthew Ward's latest message, and he talks about several things. I mean, he goes into, you know, this is the whole article is not about that, but you can check that out if you want on Golden Age of Gaia, and I'll make sure that I leave a where you can find that. But what caught my eye was something I heard probably 30 years ago, or close to 30 years, where Ramtha described who we are, why we're here, but also why we're limited, how we've become limited. And of course, if you read that, what I posted on this, on my page for today is, we were beings that were really, when we came here, we're unlimited. And I think we were the creators, or maybe not us per se, but there were ones that were the creator gods that created physical life. And, you know, we were monkey. You know, Ramtha said that we were just experimenting with it and trying to find the best bodies that we could to inhabit on a physical plane. And, you know, we created the dinosaurs as an experiment. And then they kept eating other people's creations. And he said the gods were competitive. And so one would create one dinosaur, and then another one would create another one that was more powerful. And so there was that kind of fun thing going on. But in the beginning, initially, the bodies were created so that they could hold in them, hold all the light, and that we would have the ability to do anything in a physical body and not have to be dependent or being seen as weak. And that was tampered with at some point. And we were, the DNA helix was, according to Matthew Ward, he said that we had several more that were made dormant, and we only have two functioning DNA helix. And that's exactly what Ramtha said, and that's what other channeled beings have said repeatedly, that we only have two and we're supposed to have 12, and even more than that, perhaps. So what's going on now is that we're opening up or redeveloping these other 10 helix, and when we do that, it allows us to fully function. And I liked how the article explained why we get upset, because we're not connected to source, and because we come into a physical body, and the physical manifestation is the furthest removed from everything. So we're quite a ways away. But even then, we still would have the ability to be truly enlightened, like we've seen with Buddha and Jesus and others who've walked the earth, that they still were able to make that connection. The thing is, they were using all their bodies. I don't know if their bodies were, you know, I'm sure they were born into a body that was restricted, but they overcame that. Or maybe their bodies were special and were able to use all 12 helix and use the full capacity of the brain. One of the things Ramtha said is that we don't use the full capacity of our brain. We only use 10% of it. Now, scientists are saying we use all of it. I don't agree. You know, the pituitary gland, the pineal, we don't use that. And you see people that are psychic, and they have measured that, and it's more lit up in people that use their third eye. So there is definitely evidence to support, I believe, that says we aren't using our brains to our full capacity. And Ramtha explained that is your brain is a transmitter and a receiver. And when it works 100%, you are in constant communication with God, the cosmos, everything. And you have been tampered with by those that want to control you. And you allowed this to happen. It's not like it's a big secret. And they've limited the use of your brain. They've limited DNA, so you would be born into a body. And I don't know how long this has been going on. Some say it's been only been thousands of years. Maybe it's been millions. But so we've kind of come into this basically control environment. And we're willing to do that because we wanted duality. We wanted, really, if you go back far enough to our beginning and who we are, and that's what this is about. And Matthew Ward touches on that a little bit, and Ramtha touched on it a lot. But he said that we came from source, just like so many have said before. That's what Ramtha said. And we're little gods. And we were given the freedom to go and create. And imagine that, total freedom. And we all have this incredible, amazing powers. We just don't realize it in our physical form. And it's not an egotistical thing. It's just knowing that you are an unlimited being. When I first heard that, I was kind of egotistical, thinking, well, I could create anything and do anything. I'm a god, blah, blah, blah. You're an extension of Source. So you can call yourself a little god or part of, you are God. But this is nothing to walk around with your chest on, beating you. Ow! I'm God. Look at me. So over time, you come to realize that you are this extension, and you've been given this great freedom to go and, you know, experience life in many different ways. And there are many dimensions of life. I think we're beginning to understand that, right? And there's many planets out there where life can exist, and life can take on many different forms. So it's unlimited when you think about it. I don't have certainly the answers to all of it, but I do have what I think are some answers as to how we got here. And I believe more than one source has talked about this, but, you know, in the beginning, God created life. Well, in the beginning, God contemplated himself or herself. It's a combination of male and female. I believe God is both. How could it not be? And when it did that, it created little aspects of itself. And these little aspects were allowed to go forth, and some chose to go on a physical. They wanted to experience many different, every different possibility. So eventually they got around to creating universes, creating worlds. And these worlds were inhabited. Each of these worlds have divine consciousness. They're living beings within each of these worlds, these planets, just like Earth. And there's consciousness in everything. And that's what God to me is, consciousness. And we're all part of that. We're all from it. So we can all tap back into it. But we wanted to experience things here at first just in a physical body. And then maybe after a while they wanted more of a challenge. I don't know exactly the answer, but from what I understand, the reason that we allowed darker forces, if you want to call them that, forces not of the light. Well, first of all, there had to be that in order to experience duality. And duality is separation from God. So you have two different mindsets. And we believe that, you know, we are separate from God. And the goal is to find and return eventually to that. And we have this great challenge ahead of ourselves over many lifetimes to come here and do it again and again and again, to eventually, oh, I've moved on now. And there have been those that have come here and said, you know, you don't have to do all that. That's an illusion. Even reincarnation, it's all part of this illusion. Even what's called the first level, heaven, is an illusion, because we seem to think we have to come back here again and again, and when we don't, we already are these divine beings. We already have all that we need. We don't need to keep going through these experiences, unless we want to, and we're given the freedom to do that. And so what we've been seeing now over the last 20, 30 years is that we've been seeing great change in Earth, and a lot of it points back to 1987 harmonic convergence, when light started to come to the planet. And Raptha said the reason we needed light is because the planet, these beings that took over and have been controlling us, they're very powerful in their own way. Not more powerful than the light, but they placed a shield around the planet. To me, this is a good explanation why light doesn't come through, why this Earth has been so dark for so long. And he said the shield has been cracking. And ever since, every time more light comes to the planet, which are loving beings, more love comes to the planet, whether it's through the cosmos, through multi-dimensions, we are the ones that are changing it. Nobody's going to swoop in and save us. We are the ones that dug this hole. We are the ones that are going to dig our... They're all there to assist us. But we are the ones that are going to dig our way out. And so we were born with these great abilities, and we chose to give them up so we could experience the great journey of duality. Now, for some of you, you're fed up with it, sick and tired of it. You see it as a bad thing, and it's not. It's just part of what was, in my opinion. It's part of what we came here to do. And now Earth has said, And you've heard this from many people I've had on. Earth has said, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I want to no longer be a place where there's war. I'm going to become a place of love. And I'm inviting you to come with me. And it's up to you. And if you choose not to, then, you know, it's not looked at as Earth is making us die. But, you know, we make a choice consciously. And so if we choose to go with Earth, then we will live physically. Now, if we die physically, that's not a bad thing, because our souls go back to, you know, they're always going to go somewhere where there's love. Unless we say, no, I don't want to go there. But, I mean, we will always go. Eventually, all of us will return there. Even, I think, the darkest energies will all, at some point, you know, they're just serving a purpose. They're playing their role. They're doing what they want. And eventually, we all want to go home. And there's really no time. So, does it really matter? No. We're here at this point, and things are evolving to where we're going to be eventually using the full capacity of our brains. There's been movies done by that. We're going to have our helixes restored. This will all give us, according to Ramtha, he called it super consciousness. Others call it by different names. It'll just give us the unlimited ability to be what we're meant to be. And I think Jesus is probably one of the best examples of what we're capable of doing. And he even said that. What I can do, you can do as well, if not more. So what does that mean? And to me, that means he was just showing us the potential we each had. And others have done the same. I think others have come as well. We just don't know about it in our recorded history. We don't get much of that. But in some of the ancient teachings, there are beings that came here and did similar things and were able to, you know, the average person couldn't do, because they were born into this great awareness. And this awareness allowed them to overcome physical challenges that the rest of us, you know, there are people that have learned how to overcome eating, and they don't need to eat very little. There are people that have learned to overcome sleeping. So we haven't quite figured it all out. There's very few that have put it all together. There was a series of books that I've talked about before called The Masters of the Far East. Now, a lot of people, I've heard more flack on this, that this is just made up, it's all fiction. It certainly could be. But I think there was great truth within these series of books. The story is about Baird Spaulding in 1893 going on an expedition and meeting all these enlightened masters, including Buddha and Jesus. And he met these masters who were no different than Buddha and Jesus, and they were able to do everything both of those beings could do. So the question lies, did these beings really exist, or is it just... You know, the more I've read that series of books more than once, and I start to think, well, maybe it's all made up, because, you know, there were just certain things you look for, dramatic events in books, and you find that reality generally is not dramatic like that, you know. So part of me makes me think that, maybe it wasn't accurate. I don't know, but the message was the most important thing. And there are those that have said, that have talked about this, that I've talked, that channel things, you know, or speak to higher beings, and they've said, you know, the books may not have been accurate, but they were needed in that time period to open the door for people to wake up. So if I'm to take it by what some channel beings have said as far as the accuracy of those, then maybe they're not. It was all kind of made up. But he was tapping into something greater as well. And even if it was fictional stories, I don't know. I like to believe that they're accurate. You know, there have been people that have... there's a part of the book where somebody talks about Baird Spaulding, and he lived to be in his 90s, and they said he had this incredible energy even into his 90s. And he had seemed to tap into something greater, but he was... They spent 3 years over there, and they weren't able to learn how to overcome and become like these so-called masters that could do things. You know, and it got me to look around and see if people can do certain things. And I've talked to people over the years, just about everybody I meet. And I've learned people, you know, have done some amazing things that you normally think they wouldn't be able to do. And it's tapping into that moment, that greatness that we all have. But they can't maintain it. There are those, like I've said, that have learned how to overcome eating. And you find these a lot in the Far East, and they just feed off of prana, off of energy. And I think if any of us really focused long enough on something, maybe it would come forward. I usually lose my patience. And so, not my patience, just, you know, you get distracted, you go wind up doing other things. I don't have time to sit around and do that completely. I guess when I get a week off, I could spend the whole week doing that. I am meditating and trying to become this. Part of me likes to have fun too, you know. When I had time off, I did work around my yard and my driveway and stained the deck and had the blast of digging up my septic system. Woohoo! Was that a good time? Turns out it's right underneath our deck, and I did it the first time. And I forgot. It was back in 2004, 5. It's been quite a while. And so I knew we probably should get it dug up again. And I forgot exactly where it was located. I knew it was underneath the deck. I pulled all these boards off. I spent the whole day, my first day of vacation, digging all that up. And then I was digging in the wrong spot. I was just exhausted from all the digging and all. Because you don't have a lot of room. And you're in between these boards with maybe a space of, I don't know, a couple of feet. You know, because the boards were in crosswise. So you take off the main deck boards and you still have these main planks that run on the bottom. They're maybe spaced 2-3 feet apart, if 3 feet, if that. And so you don't have a lot of room to dig. You're digging by hand. You can't get a shovel in there too easily. So it's, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But then I thought, you know what? I don't know. I can't finish this one day. I got done with it, put the boards back on, said it's got to be in another spot. And so the next day, yeah, it was right where I thought it was. Should have listened to my own intuition, and I would have had saved myself a day. So then finally the guy comes out and pumps. And it was a guy I know. His name is Mark. It's good to see him again because I have a connection to him and his family. And then he left, and I started working on my driveway. And so I did most of that for a week, and then we went and spent some time. I wasn't meditating the whole time. I spent some time up at my in-law's cabin, which is real nice. It's right on the lake. And we enjoyed ourselves, I think, for a few days there. I certainly like when I can get away and be by myself, but I don't do that very often. I can find just being at home for a short period of time, just sitting on my deck and relaxing, or being out in the yard. It really connects me. You know, I've got a big yard. It's almost 2 acres, and, you know, our property is all, there's trees all around us. There's nobody, our neighbors, not even anywhere near us. And it feels like we're kind of on our own. You know, there's a highway fairly close and train tracks. But other than that, I don't even see my neighbors from where I'm at. And I like that. I like people. I love people. But I love the solitude as well. You kind of need that, I think. You kind of need to get in touch with nature. That's what kind of reconnects, at least reconnects me, just walking through the grass even. Anyway, getting back to what I was saying about who we are. You know, if we are all these divine beings that are unlimited, and I know more and more people who seem to be feeling that way as well, and maybe it's just they're born with this awareness and they understand that there's no limitations on any of us, and that we all have unlimited abilities. And we've really, you know, some people say, we've got to fight this fight to bring awareness to the planet and to chase away the dark energies. And because they're making turmoil and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but this is all part of what was, you know, and part of what is. And it'll change when enough of us want it to change. So we have to hold that intent. And, you know, if you want to be somebody that goes out in a fiery crash to bring attention and awareness, go ahead. That's good. But so often the message is lost. A week later, we fall back in. I think to me, and I'm not an expert on all of this, but I think the greatest thing we can do is just hold love while we're here. And I don't always do it. I'm not perfect by any means. But if we hold love in our heart while we're here, and if more of us come together and do that, that is the greatest thing I think we can do, because that energy goes out. It just goes out all over the place. And everybody feels it and receives it. Every thought, you You know, Raptha said, like I said before, the brain is a receiver and a transmitter. That makes so much sense to me because I know I've put out thoughts and people have received them, and I know I've received other people's thoughts. And this has happened many times in my life. And I'm sure it's happened to you as well, where maybe you just didn't realize it, but the phone rang and it was somebody you're thinking about, or you ran into somebody you were thinking about and you hadn't seen them in years. It's just like, how does that happen? Is that just coincidence? It's not. It's all part of what really our deep connection, that we all are connected through our thoughts. First and foremost, our thoughts are what we are. We are beings of consciousness. We are beings of thought, in my opinion. And again, what do I know? But I'm just saying, we are beings of pure thought. That's what God is to me, thought and consciousness. And then we were created from that, and we became thought and consciousness, little thoughts and consciousness. And then we wanted to become physical, and so the next journey we took was to become light, because that's the first step in being a physical being. So now you hear people say beings of light, like angels and higher dimensional beings, and even alien beings are beings of light if they're highly evolved. They're just beings of, you really don't have a form, they're just kind of, there might be like a human form, but they can take any form they want. But there's truly this bright, brilliant light. And that's what I think our next step was. And then eventually, the step after that was to take on a physical body. And there, I think, are many, many realms of existence where that goes on. You know, this is just but one. And so, physical body to us is humanoid. But who's to say that that's the case in all the dimensions in all the universe? And so we wanted this experience. And many chose not to. That's why when somebody uses the term, he's an old soul, it's because they've been here many, many times. And he's a kind of a young soul, or she. And to me, that's just merely they've only been here a little bit. And that's why, you know, the more you do something, the more familiar you are. And so you don't fall into all the pitfalls, and you kind of have a relaxed attitude because an older soul has been, it's like a mature person. You've already been down this road. It's not as big a deal to somebody that's never, oh, I've never seen this before. This is crazy. So Raptha even talked about that, and other books talked about it. I think it was actually Messages from Michael, that if you're a young soul or baby soul or infant, whatever term they want to use, you tend to, you know, rush through things and you don't gain all the lessons of life, and it takes a while to step out of that and then move into another level of the soul level on this physical plane. And Raptha came along and said, you don't need to do any of that. All these soul levels that you go through, reincarnation after reincarnation, and some lives you don't even evolve. You don't have to do any of that. You can be instantly evolved if you truly wanted to. Even in your limited body, he said, you could do it. And that's what I've always hung on to. It's like, God, wouldn't that be nice? And think of the freedom that we've been given. And think of if God is a being that's truly unconditional with his love, his, her love, I should say, then it allows us to go in whatever direction we want. Now, some people will say, yeah, but eventually you're going to be called back to source. And maybe they're right. But my take on it is, where I'm at right now in my level of understanding is, we may want to return to that because that's part of the journey, but I don't think we're ever forced to do anything. I think we're given the freedom because time doesn't exist. So what difference does it make? You must do this now. It's like, there is no now. And only, there only exists in the physical world. There is no physical, there, time does not exist elsewhere. So if I choose millions of years to do this, it's just a blink of an eye. And it really doesn't even exist. And then I wake up from this illusion and go, oh, okay. And really, it's just God experience itself is the way I look at it. So God is not going to say, you know what? I don't like what I'm doing. I'm going to stop that. That just doesn't make sense to me. So much of what Raptha says, much of what Matthew Ward says, and many others, but I really like many, many articles that I've read by Matthew And I truly, you know, I think his existence, he was the Apostle Matthew, I believe, when I read about him, and a very enlightened being that's been here many, 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 many times, as many of us have been. You know, when you, we start to have to also start realizing that all of us that take an interest in these kind of things have probably been here. And don't sell yourself short. Realize that you too are a very wise being who's on a journey probably to move things forward. And you don't have to be doing a show, a broadcast, or marching. I mean, if that's what you want to do, just being who you are every day is holding that vibration. And not everybody wants to step up and play that role. I'm leader. Some of you are being programmed to be leaders and you don't even realize it. And it's more in the subconscious. And you're working with multidimensionals, as I've had people on my show talking about that. That's where I think we're going to go to. Now, when this is all going to happen, I don't know. Some people say it's going to happen soon. Great awakening, great changes, disclosure. I don't know. You know, I'm just going to leave it as it, not worry about it. Hopefully it'll happen soon in my lifetime, but if it doesn't, so be it. And we all, I think, have come here, not all of us, but many of us have come here to move this. You start to realize that you're part of this group that's here to move things forward. I don't agree with everything that's being said. I don't agree with the way about some people are doing it, because if they're not walking in love, then I don't want to hear what they have to say. I mean, that's not like I'm going to hold it against them, but it's like, you're going to lose me if you're not walking in love. So if you lead a rally and there's anger and there's hatred and there's negativity, I'm not going to support that. And if you are a person that calls yourself a light worker, whether a channeler or a psychic medium, and you're saying all these wonderful, loving things, and then the next moment you're spewing hatred and negativity. We're all entitled to have moments. I'm not against that. What I'm saying is, if you present a false representation of who you are, all nice and sweet, and then you find out maybe they're not so nice and sweet, and they got a lot of anger and hatred. I think we, you know, all of us probably have those moments. But do you truly want to make a difference? Then you need to try to focus on the light and the love as much as possible. And I guess I won't associate with people that I don't think are truly living that. Again, everybody's entitled to have their moments. I wouldn't shy away from someone like that. I would just move away from those that I think are not being 100% genuine. So I always try to bring people that I feel are genuine souls. And Steve Becko and Matthew Ward, the message from there, I believe in both of those, and many people that have been on my show as well. You know, and you can meet people for the first time, and you can, just by talking to them for an hour, you can get a real good take on where they're at. And then if you go to their website, you can see how they, the messages, the comments they make, it kind of lets you know who they are. And they're all entitled to have an opinion, and they're all entitled to maybe get upset once in a while with the many things that are going on. I can understand that. We all have passion, passionate about what we believe, you know, and passionate about what we don't like. You know, I do not care for all the things that go on and how people are treated. And that's always been a big sticking point with me. The horrible treatment of children, not just children, everybody in general. I don't just single out children. Elderly, people my age, people younger, you know, it's just inexcusable. And I call it out when I see it. And generally, I don't, you know, I think you got to lay that groundwork, or people around you, they're going to kind of push that envelope. And it's really there for that reason, I think. It's really there for that. I've worked with people that are very aggressive towards others, and others that aren't easygoing. And some of these aggressive people, if you don't stand your ground with them, they are going to walk all over you. And you need to, but you do it in a way that's respectful to them, but also kind of no nonsense. That's what I've learned. It's like, I'm not going to let you do this. You're not going to treat me that way. And sometimes I've just walked away from these people. And I think they got the message. And then at the same time, I've always been a being that brought love to others, sat there for them, listened to them, didn't make excuses for them, but just they knew that my heart was sending them love. And that works so well. It's like the people, they respect that. And they also know that I'm a hard worker and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get my job done, but also assist them. I assist people at any time. And there are people that take advantage of it. But anytime they come to me with anything, I'm willing to drop what I'm doing to assist them. And not many people are like that. And you get caught sometimes in the middle where you're just stressed and you want to leave and you're caught up in it. And it's like, it's always been this great lesson to learn how to not react emotionally when you're being pushed. And that's why it happens. I really think we're all being pushed right now. This is so we can graduate. And what we're graduating from is flying off the handle or getting upset about these things that really don't matter so that we can become balanced beings. If the earth is truly evolving and moving towards the fifth dimension and we are going with it, then we've got to clear all these things out. And then we'll be able to go with it. It just makes sense. And then some of us also, I think, are being groomed to become leaders when things change, because we've been here many times and we've learned things and we've probably volunteered for it before we came here. So if I'm being groomed for that, I don't know. I thought I was just being groomed to do my program to help move the light, but it could be anybody. I think anybody that truly walks the walk, you know, they may not realize it, but maybe that's what they signed up for. I don't know. It's different for everybody. And the people that don't get it, the people that choose to continue to hang on to all the negativity, it's their own journey. I don't know. Everybody has a different journey. You'd have to ask 7 billion different questions to find an answer. It's so easy to lump everybody into one thing. You know, maybe some came here to be awakened at some point and join and become more aware. And maybe they didn't. And that's all part of it. So just wanted to share Matthew's reading, and I think I'd love to have Suzanne on sometime, so maybe I'll be able to do that, just to see, because Matthew has said some really amazing things. He had a story about JFK a couple of years ago that I thought was really interesting. He was talking about who JFK really was and his purpose. So, and again, it fell in line right with what I've heard from Ramtha and other beings. So to me, these things that ring true to me, when I hear something that supports that, it's like, funny how they came up with that. Where did that come from? Unless they're all reading from the same handbook. I don't think they are, but who knows? Anyway, we'll have more programs coming soon. Thank you for listening. Let me know if there's anything you want to talk about or discuss or have an opinion or whatever the case may be. Or if you want to come on my show, I'd love to have you. Thank you.